care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. That's how Paul passed this task on to the elders of individual churches. Here's how he did it with Timothy. And then how he talked to Timothy, told Timothy to pass it on from Timothy. Here's how he writes, Paul to Timothy, "What you have heard from me," this is 1 Timothy 5, "what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, you entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach, feed others." And so it was. "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching." That's feeding, feeding, feeding. And so it's passed on. That's all I'm saying. Peter, the apostles, widens out to all pastors and elders and teachers for 2,000 years. And there's one more layer, concentric circle outside at the far reaches. I would say, I'm not sure everyone agrees with this, but I would say that to the answer to the question, who does the feeding, I would say that in an ultimate sense, it's all Christians. One to another, to whatever degree we wield the word of God in each other's lives. It doesn't discount Peter, the apostles, then to me, and to Rod, and Brian, and Luke, and Brandon, and others. But you have a role here too in this feeding, don't you? Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, quote, "Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love." More clear, Colossians 3:16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing, feeding one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." And there's more texts like this. Encourage one another, build one another up, just as you are doing, 1 Thessalonians 5. So that's my answer to the question, and then now we're going to do the when and where. So the answer to the question, who does the feeding? It's concentric circles. It might even be hierarchical in some sense. I think in some sense it must be. The apostles were built on the foundation of the apostles. Then that's entrusted to elders, pastors. But then, you know, everyone gets in on this, parents and neighbors and all sorts of things where the word is opened and wielded to sharpen another brother. That's Christ feeding his sheep. So that's a big answer to the question, who does the feeding? Now let's get a little more specific with the third question I promised we would answer, try to. When and where does this feeding happen? The same kind of levels here now. In a general way, the answer is many places. Where does Christ feed his sheep? The answer is many places. In fact, again, in the broadest sense, wherever two Christians open the Word of God. At least in theory. I mean, they could totally be leading each other astray, blind leading the blind kind of thing. Could happen. I'm sure it happens all the time. But in theory, when two Christians open the Word, submit to it, challenge one another, that's Christ feeding his sheep. And I'll list several places where this feeding ought to be happening, or at least can happen. But there is one main place. Now, here's where you would expect the pastor to say certain things because he's pastorish, and I'm going to say those things. Let's see if you're right. There is one main place, it seems to me, where this feeding happens. And that is through the teaching and preaching ministry of the appointed elders and pastors of the local church. One main place, time, venue. I'm not talking about just merely an event. I'm talking about a family as a, I don't know, a thing, a destination, an entity. The teaching and preaching ministry of the appointed elders and pastors of the local church. I believe that from texts like those Timothy texts, like the Ephesus text, in both Ephesians and Acts 28, was it Acts 20, I think. I forget. I think they lean this way. They make it clear that I bear this burden. I think you're here, and those of you who are here assume that I take this seriously. That we take this seriously, we elders. We are charged as pastor and elders to sort of these twin pillars in the Pauline letters. We're charged to guard the doctrine and guide the church. We're charged with guarding the doctrine and guiding the church. And the outworking of this shows up in what is preached on Sunday mornings and how we build this church upon the Word of God and saturate the church with it, how we commission teachers and guard and guide what is taught and what is not taught, and so on and so forth. It is our job, first and foremost, to feed the sheep of Jesus Christ whom He has placed under our care. And that's where we get into the weight of it, the responsibility of it. And we don't take that lightly, not at all. Now, God has given a unique season, at least in my 7 years here. God has given a unique season in just the past few years in this rebirth of a church, a season of stability, at least unknown before that by me, and growth that I hope and pray is a sign of even healthier times to come. Wonderful elders, wonderful teachers, solid, solid ground here, built on and saturated with the Word of God. But it has not always been this way. My experience has been, by God's grace, that for years, when seemingly all else changes again and again and again, when from year to year leaders have changed, not one of these leaders who you have now, you're blessed with, were even here at the beginning. We've only been together for a couple, 2.5-ish, with Rod. Rod's only heard me preach John sermons. And Brian came about a year before, I think, ish. And Luke a year or two before that. I was here years before that. So everything's changed. My experience has been that when seemingly all else changes, leaders change, teachers change, classes come and go, people come and go. Did you know that, some of you do, that the only people who are here now who were here 7 years ago are us and the Van Leers? Those four adults. Thank you. Thank you, Brian and Andrew. That's just so huge for them to stick through this. It was very, very huge. As everything changes, there has been one thing, one constant by God's grace, and this has everything to do with God and not with me. The one constant is the Word of God, and it preached from Sunday to Sunday to Sunday, no matter what. That's the constant. Through turmoil, difficult times, threats, divisions, almost total turnover, seemingly endless instability that I still feel in almost every other area. God has blessed the holding high of His Word and the preaching of it in the face of all opposition. I've seen it happen. By God's grace, I have survived it thus far because we here stand on His Word alone, and sometimes I stand behind it as people throw things. Not really. This is all of grace. This is the Lord's doing. So I start here. When we talk about when and where does the feeding happen, this is where I start. And this is what I meant. You'd expect the pastor to say that. Job security and all that. He thinks what he does is so important. I don't think that's it. I don't think that's it. Start with the preaching of the Word of God. Week in and week out, month after month, year after year, and build from there. Feed the sheep and start with this. Preach the word in season and out. Be ready and don't stop for anything. And see if Christ will build His church from that center. What other center would you build from? What other foundation would you lay? I stand with so many pastors on this point, and I'll pick a dead one. This is John Owen, the 17th century pastor and theologian who said, quote, "The first and principal duty of a pastor is to feed the flock by diligent preaching of the word," end quote. I totally, totally agree. When everything else changes, this must not change. So start there. Start here. If you want to see a church rebirth, or you want to start one from scratch, if you want to build a strong college ministry or Sunday school program, here is our firm foundation, our one mainstay, the faithful preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And by the way, I'll share this with you. There was a little thing on my margin here as I typed this, thought about this. It wasn't there when I typed it. I wrote it in after. Now, something I've been reminding myself of lately when I tell these things about the church or whatever, how great I might seem for doing nothing except hanging on. Who is the hero of this story? Who is the hero when we tell the great things God has done? Who is the hero of your conversion story, of your ministry successes? Of growth in Christ. Who's the hero when you talk about all the wonderful things? If it's you, then you're working against and disobeying everything that I've talked about so far. Feed my sheep. They're His sheep. You can do nothing apart from Him. So I need to be clear on that, and you can check me on that and challenge me. If it sounds like I'm the hero of this story, believe me, I'm not. I'm just not. And if I think I am, it's just a sickness. It's just sin. It's pride. And it should be repented of. But there's more than just preaching, isn't there? There must be. And I've alluded to the overall responsibility of the elders together to guard the doctrine and guide the church. These are feeding responsibilities. Now, what will be the feeding schedule of these people under the care of the elders? What will be the feeding schedule? Where would we like them to be, to go, to get to? And how will they get there? What is the purpose of all the ministry stuff we do? Ought it not be to feed the sheep of Christ and grow up to maturity, they who are in Christ? Yes, that's the reason. This is what we are here for, to gather Christ's sheep and then feed them so that they can gather and feed, and so on and so on and so on. This is the history of the church since its inception. Obedience to Christ's commission to Peter to feed and tend the flock of God, Christ's sheep. So in this church, in terms of officially scheduled feedings, this is everything from Sunday school to corporate worship, preaching of the word, a bit in community groups. Then there's Wednesday nights and feeding for all children and students from age 4 through SDSU students. We're not talking about the free meal there. We are about the feeding of Christ's sheep, teaching, feeding, tending, resourcing, equipping. That's what we do. Then there is all the one-on-one mentoring and guiding that goes on because we love one another. It happens in Equip. Lots of that going on in college ministries these days, and that's wonderful. And it happens in the greater church more than you know. It happens in my office every week. It happens in your homes. It happens when parents read the Bible with their children. It happens over the phone. It happens in the coffee shop. It happens everywhere where two of our people open the Bible together. For whatever length of time, for however many weeks in a row, and they seek to grow together, to sharpen one another. And then it also happens as Christians take personal ownership of their own growth, putting into practice what they've been taught, as they commit to developing the disciplines of Bible reading plans, Bible memorization, and then also committing to come to classes and services where we want to feed you here at the church and in our homes and in community groups and so on and so forth, where the teaching and preaching of this church happen. In short, Christ's sheep are fed whenever and wherever his word is opened and the word is ingested, that is, studied, meditated on, truth imparted by the Spirit, applied to the heart and mind of the believer. And the feeding of Christ's sheep is anchored in the heart of the local church, guided and guarded by faithful pastors and elders, and stretches then as far as mature Christians take the Word of God through various ministries in our homes and in the world. And the cycle repeats. God gathers his sheep through the preaching of his word, the gospel, and then he feeds them through the ministry of the church. And around it goes. And here you are as a result of people's faithfulness to Christ's commission to Peter. I'll close with the fourth point. This is brief. I don't suppose I would have done this except that it is communion today, but there is a connection. Christ's sheep and communion. We've said the church belongs to Jesus Christ, for he alone shed blood for it. That's what these communion elements before us this morning represent, that he shed his blood for his sheep. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep, and so he has. And he's taken it up again, just like he said he would, his life. And what's so interesting is that the shepherd of the sheep is the lamb that was slain for the sheep. He identifies with his sheep. He became one and died in their place, didn't he? He came and lived a perfect life that we couldn't live and died the death we should have died so that he could bring us to God. The Lamb did everything necessary at great cost to himself so that his sheep could be saved from their sins and be with their great shepherd, the Lamb, who was slain forever and ever. I want to close with this Spurgeon quote. He imagines Jesus, the great shepherd, the lamb who was slain. speaking to Christians as though speaking to Peter. So imagine Jesus turns from Peter to you, Christian. And maybe he would say this. This is Spurgeon. I'll close with this. I'll say amen when I'm done. Do you see those poor, tempted people? They are my sheep. I have loved them before the foundation of the world. Will you feed them for me? I have called them out of the world by victorious grace. Will you feed them for me? I have provided abundant pasture for them. Will you feed them for me? I have bought them with my blood. Behold, the memorials of my purchase in my hands and my feet, my head and my side. Will you feed them for me? I have also loved you, and you love me. Will you feed my sheep for me? I will feed you. Will you feed them? Your bread shall be given you, and your water shall be sure. Will you feed my beloved ones for me? I have gone to prepare a place for them in my own sweet pastures on the hilltops of glory. Will you feed them till I come again? I will feed them through you by the Holy Spirit. Will you be my instruments? Do we not all reply, beloved Master, we think it our highest honor to be privileged thus, and cost us what it may, we will spend our lives in feeding your sheep. Lord, help us feed your sheep. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this beach encounter between Jesus and Peter and how it ministered to him and how it ministers to us and commissions us. Father, help us to be bold in proclaiming clearly your word, your gospel, so that you might gather your sheep. And then, Father, help us to feed them well for all of life and all of life and all the means that you have provided to for them to be fed. And Father, continue your faithfulness to this church. And thank you for these leaders and these teachers. And Father, bless them for their faithfulness. And Father, would you continue to grow your people here, feed sheep, Father, and gather more through us for your sake, for your glory, for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray all things. Amen.